The supreme power of the cross manifests itself in so many ways in the Christian life. We've seen it in radical and dramatic moral conversions, in the sublime and serene celebration of the Church's liturgy and all of its curative power, and most dramatically throughout history in martyrdoms, whether in the Colosseum in Rome at the hands of emperors of a bygone era, or on the beaches of Libya in our own time at the hands of ISIS. Personally, I recall my experience of the cross's power when for every Good Friday for 4 years, I witnessed a van of 15 Hispanic men, all recovering alcoholics, come at the very end of the Good Friday liturgy in the parish of Colonial Beach where I was serving, and literally process down the aisle on their knees from the entrance of the church to the foot of the sanctuary to venerate the cross. 15 of them, one by one. And they made their annual renewal to stay clean and sober for another year. You could see that this was much more than some pietistic exercise or some self-coaxing act of psychologism. No, this was grace. Actual grace operative in the lives of these men. Again, the supreme power of the cross. It is said that one drop of Christ's precious blood, the least suffering, the lightest humiliation of Christ, even a single desire coming from his heart, would have sufficed, in fact, to expiate all the sins, all the crimes that men could commit. And yet the Father chose to send his only begotten Son to die a most ignominious death. Christ plumbed the depths, the absolute depths of human suffering, physically, psychologically, spiritually, morally, so much so that he repeats Psalm 22 in his sense of complete abandonment by the Father. In Hebrew, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. In English, my God, why have you abandoned me? Evil was never more heinous than it was on Good Friday. The devil threw everything that he had at God, and God still triumphed. But we may ask still, why? Why? Well, the answer is contained in one love, which is the essence of God. Love. One word. Love. God knows how we suffer. He knows that suffering and death remain the most perplexing puzzle in human existence. In the cross, we learn that Jesus did not come to eliminate suffering. That is, in fact, very clear in our lives, as we know. But he did come to suffer with us. Not to abolish suffering, but through the cross to stretch himself on and above it. In Jesus crucified, God himself is struck and pierced by evil, becoming, in fact, the very first and most authentic victim of evil. In the face of the question of evil, the cross confirms that God has forever united his destiny with the destiny of man. Thankfully, no other religion but our own gives a more satisfying and meaningful answer to these profound questions regarding that which we must all face: sin, suffering, and death. God chose to enter into the very depths of our existence and to conquer these things, sin, suffering, and death, not by eliminating them, but by transcending them. And his glorious cross offers us hope. It is the hope that in spite of all the suffering and injustice we may endure in this life, in the end, God and his righteousness will have the final say. Thanks be to God that now, because of the cross, we are not abandoned to fate or luck or chance or anything random like that at all. Rather, we are loved. We are loved immensely and deeply, personally and intimately by God himself. And that love demands a response on our part, His love requires our love as an answer. And yet we know that we are not always very good at answering Him. Even when we do not love Him, thankfully, He never stops loving us. So what I'd like to do now is to try to make this more personal for each of us. It is easy for me to stop here with these very lofty ideas and just to say, well, that's something to admire, and on I go with the rest of my life. But the question that Good Friday begs every year is whether or not what I just said actually penetrates deeply into the core of your being. It is very easy to speak of these things in theory, but to connect them to personal experience is what the saints did best. And speaking of saints, I'll now borrow words from a saint of our own time, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. She wrote a meditation late in her life based on one of the seven last words of Jesus we just heard, "I thirst." It is my hope that her words, which I borrow as my own, will help you to take these somewhat lofty ideas of Good Friday and apply them in your own lives. And so, perhaps while unconventional, I'll ask you to sit up, to close your eyes, and to open your hearts to the one who speaks to us from the cross in silence. It is true. I stand at the door of your heart day and night. Even when you are not listening, even when you could doubt it could be me, I am there. I await even the smallest sign of your response, even the least whispered invitation that will allow me to enter. And I want you to know that whenever you invite me, I always come without fail. Silent and unseen I come, but with infinite power and love and bringing the many gifts of my spirit. I come with my mercy, with my desire to forgive and heal you, and with a love for you beyond your comprehension. A love every bit as great as the love I have received from my Father. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. I come longing to console you and give you strength to lift you up and bind all your wounds. I bring you my light to dispel your darkness and your doubts. I come with my power that I might carry you and all of your burdens. I come with my grace to touch your heart and transform your life. And I come with my peace, the peace I give to still your soul. I know you through and through. I know everything about you. The very hairs of your head I have numbered. Nothing in your life is unimportant to me. I have followed you through the years. I have always loved you, even in your wanderings. I know every one of your problems. I know your needs and your worries. And yes, I know all your sins. But I tell you again that I love you, not for what you have or haven't done. I love you for you, for the beauty and dignity my Father gave you by creating you in His own image and likeness. It is a dignity you have often forgotten, a beauty you have tarnished by sin. But I love you as you are, and I have shed my blood to win you back. If you only ask me with faith, my grace will touch all that needs changing in your life, and I will give you the strength of conversion to free yourself from sin and all of its destructive power. I know what is in your heart. I know your loneliness and all your hurts, the rejections, the judgments, the humiliations. I carried them all before you. And I carried them all for you, so you might share my strength and my victory. I know especially your need for love, how you have thirsted in vain by seeking that love selfishly striving to fill the emptiness inside you with passing pleasures, with the even greater emptiness of sin. Do you thirst for love? Come to me, all you who thirst. I will satisfy you and I will fill you. Do you thirst to be cherished? I cherish you more than you can imagine, to the point of dying on the cross for you. I thirst for you. Yes, that is the only way to even begin to describe my love for you. I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and to be loved by you. That is how precious you are to me. I thirst for you. Come to me and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace even in all your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my acceptance of you, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless and live my life in you. I thirst for you. If you feel unimportant in the eyes of the world, that matters not at all. For me, there is no one any more important in the entire world than you. I thirst for you. Open to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life, and I will prove to you how important you are to my heart. Do you not realize that my Father already has a perfect plan to transform your life, beginning from this moment? Trust in me. Ask me every day to enter and take charge of your life, and I will. I promise you before my Father in heaven that I will work miracles in your life. And why would I do this? Because I thirst for you. All I ask of you is that you entrust yourself to me completely, without reservation or hesitation. Even now, I behold that place my Father has prepared for you in my kingdom. Remember that you are just a pilgrim in this life, on a journey home. Sin can never satisfy you or bring you the peace you seek. All that you have sought outside of me has only left you more empty, so do not cling to the things of this life. Above all, do not run from me when you fall. Come to me without delay. When you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. There is nothing I cannot forgive and heal, so come now and unburden your soul. No matter how far you may wander, no matter how often you forget me, no matter how many crosses you may have to bear in this life, there is one thing I want you to always remember, one thing that will never change. I thirst for you, just as you are. You do not need to change to believe in my love, for it will be your belief in my love that will change you, convert you. You forget me, and yet I am seeking you every moment of the day, standing at the door of your heart and knocking. You find this hard to believe? Then look simply at the cross. Look at my heart that was pierced for you. Have you not understood my cross? Then listen again to the words I spoke there, for they tell you clearly why I endured all of this for you. I said simply, I thirst. Yes, I thirst for you, as the rest of the psalm verse I was praying says of me. I looked for love, and I found none. All your life I have been looking for your love. I have never stopped seeking to love you and be loved by you. You've tried many other things in your search for happiness. Why not try opening your heart to me right now, more than you ever have before? And whenever you do open the door of your heart, whenever you come close enough, you will hear me say to you again and again, not in mere human words, but in spirit, no matter what you have done, I love you for your own sake. come to me with your misery and your sins, with your troubles and needs, and with all your longing to be loved. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Open to me, for I thirst for you. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.